Wonderful. Lovely to hear the chatter as always. Very sorry to butt in and intervene there. But every opportunity to share fellowship and chat again, continue that conversation when we have tea and coffee at the end. But we want to leave as much time as possible for our special guest speaker this morning. And she is my daughter and Wendy's daughter as well. Didn't kind of get mentioned, but my daughter and Wendy's daughter. And we're delighted to have her because I think years ago, when I was a younger Christian, I won't say which decade it was because that will kind of age me considerably. There's a lot of talk about what was going on in the world as far as persecution. Not heard too much, so much kept up to date, but never has there been a time like today for persecution around the world. Anyway, I don't want to stick Amy's thunder. So I was delighted that one of she works for Open Doors, and she could come and share this morning, and for God to lay on her heart some of the things that are very important for us. So let's give Amy a big welcome.
This is on, so you can hear me. Can you hear me okay? Yeah. Wonderful. Church, good morning. It is such a pleasure and a privilege to be back at Encounter Church. It's always wonderful to be among family, both literal and also church family. And, you know, last time I spoke at Encounter Church, I don't know if anyone remembers what I spoke on. Don't worry, I'm not going to give you a pop quiz. That would be a bit brutal. But last time I was here, I spoke on Galatians 5, which is, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. And I started that talk, actually, by sharing a story of a man named Sudeep who had been able to stand firm in his faith despite persecution through the support of Christians around the world and through the work of Open Doors. Now, I have since then joined the team at Open Doors, and so today it's my privilege to get to share with you even more stories like Sudeep's. Now, if you have never heard of Open Doors, if you've never come across Open Doors before, in a nutshell, our mission is to strengthen and support those who count the cost of following Jesus, believing that no Christian who is persecuted should suffer alone. And I think we have a slide of a guy called Brother Andrew. Now, Brother Andrew began the ministry of Open Doors in the 1950s. You might have read or heard of his book, God's Smuggler, but in it, he speaks about his experience of going behind the Iron Curtain, being led by God to go and share the good news with people living in communist countries in Eastern Europe where there was oppression from the government trying to stamp out the church. And he felt God speak to him through the words of Revelation 3:2. Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die. And so today, Open Doors is continuing that work to strengthen the persecuted church in more than 70 countries across the globe. And in the UK and Ireland, our hope is to equip Christians to give, advocate, and pray for those who share our faith, but not necessarily our freedom. Christians like Sudeep, and Christians like Preeta from India. Now, when Preeta's daughter became sick, she tried everything that she possibly could to heal her, turning to Hindu rituals and idols, but they didn't seem to do anything. Her husband, sadly, became an alcoholic. And so the family were struggling financially. They didn't have much food. And Preeta was living in constant fear and worry. But one day, somebody told Preeta about Jesus. She said to Jesus, "If my daughter is healed, me, her and all of my family members, we will submit our lives into your hands." And so as she prayed and she surrendered to him, her daughter was miraculously healed. In fact, soon after, her husband became a Christian and he gave up his alcohol addiction. He was totally freed. But one night, They went along to somebody's house for a prayer meeting. And suddenly a mob of people, they burst into the gathering and they began to attack and to beat them. Preeta was hit by a stick and she fell unconscious. Her family, they then tried to take her along to a hospital. But when they got there, the people at the hospital said to them, "Take her away, she is dead." And they refused to treat her. But thankfully, Open Door's partners who were working in the area, they heard about what was happening, and so they were able to help her to get into a different hospital where she was able to receive treatment, and miraculously, she was saved. Sadly, her husband developed some heart issues as a result of the attack, and life has not continued to be easy. But Preeta said, "I am so thankful for whatever God's people have done for me. God sent his people to help us. If God did not help us, we would not be alive today." Now, despite those ongoing challenges that they have, Preeta has actually been able to share her faith with others, most significantly with her Hindu father. And though he has not yet himself given his life to Jesus, he asks her to pray for him. And he has also allowed her to gather with other Christians in safety in his home. Preeta said, as a result of her experience, "I learned that we receive courage from God. God says, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.' This word strengthens me, and God is always with me." Now, I have a slide that just kind of brings a little bit of context to some of what is happening at the moment in India. And India currently stands at number 11 on the Open Doors World Watch list of the most dangerous countries in the world to be a Christian. Despite the constitution declaring the country as a secular state, Hindu radicals are pushing to make Hinduism the national religion, and they have been emboldened by the ruling BJP party and the election of Prime Minister Narendra Modi in 2014. As a result, anti-forced conversion laws can often be misused to punish Christians, allowing them to be falsely accused. And Christian converts from Hindu backgrounds, like Preeta, often bear the brunt of persecution. Last year, over 2,000 Christians, as you can see on the screen, were arrested or imprisoned for their faith in India. And that is nearly half of the amount of Christians who were detained in total worldwide last year. There are also high levels of physical violence against Christians, as we heard in Preeta's story, including mob attacks and honor killings. And in 2024 alone, 160 people lost their lives in India because they were Christians. Now, sadly, the challenges that we see facing Christians in India are not entirely unique. Around the world today, approximately 380 million Christians experience persecution for following Jesus. That is around 1 in 7 Christians worldwide. And as Pastor Barnabas from Nigeria said, and as Phil mentioned just before, nobody really seems to be talking about it. Because to be honest, for us as Christians in the West, you know, we can kind of feel a little bit detached from persecution. We can feel a bit detached from some of these stories. The news is full of awful stories as it is, and it can sometimes just feel a little bit easier just to switch off. But the cost of following Jesus is something that is real and inevitable for many of our brothers and sisters around the world. And in fact, it is something that Jesus spoke about in the Gospels. He spoke about it with his disciples, and it's something that he prepared his followers for. And so this morning, I want to turn our attention to what the scriptures have to say about persecution. And we're going to be looking particularly at a moment in which Jesus is speaking with his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, which we can find in Matthew 5. And so if you have a Bible, you're welcome to turn to Matthew 5, verses 10 to 16. If not, the verses will come up on the screen, and I'm just going to read them for us as well. So feel free to look at the screen, take a look at your Bible, or just listen to the words. But Matthew 5, 10 to 16 says this. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad. For your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Now, I think we can all agree, can't we, that nobody really likes it when things cost us more than we expected, do we? Now, I remember a few years ago when me and my husband, Hines, we decided that we were going to renovate our bathroom. We were relative newlyweds, you know, a couple of years married, and we were in our first home. And naively, we decided that we were going to start the demolition process before consulting a plumber. We ripped out all of the wood chip wallpaper, which I personally don't think belongs in a bathroom anyway. We tore out the shower, and by the end, we were left with a cast iron bathtub and a 100-year-old toilet, only to have the plumber that we then invited in to give us a quote laugh at us because we discovered that fitting a new bathroom was going to cost us far more than we actually had. So sadly for us, that meant months of excruciatingly hard work doing everything ourselves. We had to use the showers at the gym, which, to be honest, meant we got a little bit more use out of our gym membership. So that was a silver lining. But thankfully, in the end, it all kind of came together. And now we have a beautiful, functioning bathroom and also some more useful DIY skills up our sleeves. So that's a bonus as well. But I wonder if you've ever been in a situation where you've started something, maybe a DIY project, maybe you've thought, I know, signing up for a marathon, that's a great idea. And before long, you've realized, goodness, this is going to be far more costly than I realized. You know, I imagine that that is how Jesus' followers would have been feeling when they were listening to him saying these words. You know, in Matthew 4, we read about how Jesus, he'd been going around Galilee, he'd been sharing the good news, he'd been healing people, he'd been casting out demons. He was setting the oppressed free, and they were probably thinking, wow, this guy is incredible. If I follow him, all my problems are just going to disappear. But then they sit down and they start to listen to this sermon. And all of a sudden, the message is, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Hold on a second, Jesus. I thought that following you meant healing and freedom. What do you mean that I'm blessed if I'm persecuted? Now, over the years, people have interpreted these words of Jesus in a number of different kinds of ways. And this section of the Sermon on the Mount has become known as the Beatitudes, and maybe you've heard that word before. But it's a word that comes from the Latin beatus, which means blessed or happy. But the word that Jesus actually uses when he's speaking here is a Greek word for blessed, which is makarios. And it does mean blessed or happy, but the kind of sense that it evokes is blessed in a sense of receiving God's favor. You see, in that time, persecution and suffering would have been seen as a sign of God's displeasure. If somebody was suffering, the assumption would be that they had displeased God, that they had offended God in some way, and that their suffering was some kind of punishment for him, from him. But here, what Jesus is saying is that when you suffer for righteousness' sake, when you suffer for godliness, you will actually experience God's blessing. That your suffering is not a consequence of God's lack of favor, but it is a condition through which you are able to experience it in its fullness. see in a world that shouts, blessed are those who are rich and famous and great and honorable. Jesus' followers will be blessed because they have him. See, he is turning this idea of what it means to be blessed on its head. And it's this paradox of persecution that I want to focus on for the rest of the time. And in order to do that, there are three things that I just want to draw out from what Jesus is saying. That there is purpose that comes out of persecution. That there is a promise for those who experience it. And that there is something that all of us, whether we experience persecution in the same way as our brothers and sisters around the world or not, there is something for us all to put into practice. So, firstly, for those who experience persecution, there is purpose. See, when Jesus says, blessed are you when people persecute you, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but this is actually the only beatitude that he personalizes. Jesus directs it at his disciples. He repeats it, and then he says, blessed are you when people revile and persecute you. He says, look at the prophets, people like Elijah, who had to flee for declaring God as the one true God, or Daniel, who was thrown into a den of lions for refusing to bow down and worship the king of the Babylonians. For in the same way they persecuted them, Jesus says. You know, it's always been the case, that's the kind of point that he's trying to put out there, that those who proclaim the kingdom of God will experience opposition. And for those who want to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, this is the path that they're going to have to take. Because after all, as we've been reflecting on, as we have taken the Lord's Supper together, that is the path that he would eventually take. You see, Jesus knew that they would crucify him. Yet he willingly paid the price, knowing that his death on the cross would pave the way for death to be destroyed. And in the same way that Jesus' death on the cross has brought about freedom for the oppressed, in God's hands, suffering can be used for good. Like in Yasin's story. Now, actually, the Sermon on the Mount was the very first thing that Yasin ever read when he managed to get hold of a Bible. He said, I cried because of the beautiful words in it. Now, Yasin is a Christian who lives in Iraq, and he converted from Islam. Having prayed for answers to his questions about faith, one day he had a dream. And he encountered Jesus in this dream, and he said, I could not stop looking at him. He put his hands on my head, and he said, you are my beloved child. This is the way. Follow me. And after his dream, Yasin sought out a church minister, a pastor, who was then able to give him a Bible and lead him to give his life to Jesus. But since then, life has not been easy. He has been violently attacked on multiple occasions. He lost his business as a result of his faith, and somebody actually threw a firebomb at his home. Yasin has paid a huge price, and yet he is sure that it was worth it. The persecution is continuous, he says, but there is no other way. Jesus offered himself for me. He was insulted. He died on the cross. He did this all to redeem me. I will not deny or leave him. Now, Yasin has actually tried to get away from his village and escape on multiple occasions. But every time he's tried to do that, he's felt like God was stopping him. It's his belief that God has a mission for him in the place that he is in the midst of persecution. And actually, because of his boldness to remain, he has actually seen two people who had previously persecuted him give their lives to Jesus. You see, in God's hands, persecution has found purpose. It's become an engine for the gospel in a place where otherwise people may never have heard of the good news of Jesus. And you know, Yasin's story is so similar and resonant to so many persecuted Christians and believers around the world. But you might be thinking, well, that's wonderful. It's wonderful that God has used Yasin's circumstances. That's all well and good. But what about situations in which people suffer And it just does not really feel like there's any purpose in it. Like in Chris's experience, he was a young boy who lost his life in Indonesia earlier this year after he was beaten up in his school for being a Christian. Or the 20 believers who were killed in Mozambique last week when Al-Shabaab extremists attacked their village. Stories like these can feel painful, and they can feel hard, and they can feel pointless. They can leave us struggling to see what is the purpose in such suffering. It can cause us to feel hopeless and helpless. But in the midst of what, humanly speaking, is and feels like a dire situation, in Jesus, there is always hope. Because even though in this life, persecution and suffering may not be removed, it can and it will be redeemed. And that leads me to talk about the promise that comes with persecution. Now, not only, like I mentioned, is this the only beatitude that Jesus directs at his disciples and personalizes, but it's also the only one in which he repeats it. You see, when Jesus repeats this blessing here, he is reiterating his point that those who are persecuted in his name, they will be blessed. He encourages his followers to see suffering and persecution not in the light of earthly abundance, but through the lens of eternity. See, because of the cross, pain and death have been defeated. And so there is hope for all who trust in him, the promise of a reward that is far greater than anything that this world could offer. And I just want to show you now a short video from a guy called Pastor Sore. Now, Pastor Sore lives in Burkina Faso. And him and his family and his local community, they had to flee when extremist militants attacked their village 3 times. And so I'd just love for us to watch this short video now.
Wala bi ndem batia wakata luugo me yi ne bataba dil toni paton yal jambi yawo fa tule vuyo fa tule vuyo ru kabe ba fi kabe wanga fo la when I'm song tondo to me ru pamba nkien bebe baka a yasin kala pira da when I'm pure do mbodo. Les pas même mon tars a pour moi mime ti adia ton le bridge ti ton de depla hadan kai azizi pa depla ni ton de abeni ton ye touran ta mam kai le me pa nan pa ni ton de azizi pa wa carton cassette nan pa pa wa carton passati
You know, what I love about this video and this story is what Pastor Sore says right at the very end. Suffering is never eternal, but Jesus is. You see, Pastor Sore and his community, they continue to pray that God would change their situation, that he would step in. And in so many ways, they've seen answers to their prayers of provision in their context. But even if God doesn't answer their prayers, they say that they will continue to put their trust in Jesus. And you know, the same can be true for us. We can pray knowing and trusting that God answers prayers, that he cares for us, that he is good and faithful. But also that even if our circumstances remain the same, that he is still good. We can still have hope in the promise that he is with us no matter what, and that for those who suffer for his sake, that they will see a reward in heaven. But even though Jesus encourages us to take the long view, we can still get to experience his blessings in the here and now. And I'd love just to share with you a story that I heard recently of a woman called Lalise, and I think we've got a photo of her up on the screen. Now, I just want you to focus for now on the photo on the left. This was Lalise 10 years ago. Her husband was a church pastor, and when he was on his way home from church one Sunday, he was stabbed and killed while walking through a predominantly Muslim area. These guys live in a country in East Africa. Now, they had only been married for a few months, and the grief was almost too much for Lelise to bear. She couldn't sleep, she couldn't eat, she contemplated taking her own life. And at the time, Open Doors called on supporters around the world to pray for Lelise. And there have actually been many people globally who have continued to pray for her for the 10 years since then. And recently, we were given a bit of an update on how things are going for Lelise. And amazingly, God has answered the prayers of all of these people around the world, and she is now thriving, and you can see that in the photo on the right. See, when Lelise lost her husband, Open Doors representatives were able to provide for her trauma care and also help her get back into school so that she could train as a teacher and provide for herself. She's now finished her training, and she's started work as a school teacher, but she is also now remarried. And she has a beautiful little girl, and that's who you can see on the screen with her. You see, when Lelise heard about the fact that there were Christians around the world praying for her, she said, "I didn't realize that anyone prayed for just me. We have never met each other physically, but I want you to know that your prayers have reached God. I am remarried, and God has renewed my mind. He has helped me to build a family. My life is restored." You see, persecution, it doesn't have the final word. God does. And against the odds, humanly speaking, it is possible to experience provision, peace, and joy that can only be found in Him. And so the question is, what does this mean for us? How can we put this into practice, regardless of whether we experience persecution like Lelise or Pastor Sore or our brothers and sisters around the world or not? Well, you know, the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus delivers, this is a sermon that is not just full of great ideas, but it is a practical message. It's filled with things that as followers of Jesus, we are supposed to do. You see, our faith is not something that is supposed to be internal. We're supposed to live it out in a way that causes others to take notice. One persecuted believer in East Africa put it this way: being a Christian in name has no value. We're not supposed to stay hidden like a light under a basket, as the passage goes on to say, but to live out our faith so that others can encounter Jesus through us and ultimately give glory to our Father in heaven. We're called to be a light to the world, making Jesus visible. But living a godly life can sometimes feel like we're putting our head above the parapet. And for those of us living in the UK, it can just feel a little bit easier just to opt for comfort. After all, we don't count the cost of following Jesus in the same way as these guys that I've mentioned do. Can sometimes feel a little bit easier, can't it, for us to just keep our heads down. However, as one young Egyptian Christian put it, we're all in the same fight. Mine is a more brutal form, yours is more subtle. In the persecuted church, we are hit by the stick of persecution, but you in the West, you have the carrot of comfort dangling before you, and it lulls and it lures you. That is the thing that we are standing up against in terms of stepping out boldly and fearlessly for Jesus. And so wherever we're at, whether we're experiencing persecution or not, there is something in Jesus' words that we all need to pay attention to and put into practice, both in how we live out our faith, but also in how we stand alongside others. After all, we are all part of the body. And when the church suffers in northern Nigeria or Somalia or China or India, the whole church suffers. Tyram, who worked for the Open Doors Trauma Center in North Nigeria, described the persecuted church as kind of like a wounded foot that causes the body to limp and to be in pain. But what that means is that when we pray or we take action or we use our voice, it's like we are going to this part of the body and we are giving it the care and the attention that it needs. As Eddie Lyle, former CEO of Open Doors, once said, in reality, there is not the persecuted church and the non-persecuted church. There is just the church. And we have a responsibility to speak up for and to care for our members who cannot speak for themselves. Now, all of these stories this morning that I have shared, all of these people, they are just ordinary people, like you and me. They're not super special. They're not super holy. And so no matter how inadequate we might feel, Jesus gives us all the instruction to be salt and light. Maybe for you, you normally shy away from mentioning Jesus to those who don't know him. Or you maybe feel like, oh, if I was to kind of reflect on how my life is looking at the moment, in reality, my faith isn't really having that much of an impact on my day-to-day relationships. And this is an invitation this morning to be salt and light in your workplace or among your neighbors or with the other parents at the school gate. Maybe there is a challenge in here for you today to step up into supporting brothers and sisters around the world so that they can continue to be light in dark places. And there are a number of ways that you can do that. One really practical step that you could take is to sign our Arise Africa petition. At the moment, there are 16.2 million Christians across sub-Saharan Africa who've been displaced from their homes because of violence and oppression. And this is a petition that we are inviting people in the UK to sign so that we can present it next year to the African Union, the EU, and also, hopefully, the UN, calling on them to take action. And so if you like, you can either scan the QR code on the screen and sign it online. I've also got some physical cards with me as well. You're very welcome to sign one of those if you would like to today. Something else that you might want to do is give towards projects that support persecuted Christians worldwide. Some of the things that we're able to do as Open Doors is provide trauma care and emergency provision for Christians who have experienced persecution. And again, that's something that you can do. We've got a little resource desk at the back, but there is certainly no obligation. But something that all of us can do, and I would encourage all of us to do, is pray. See, Brother Andrew, who I mentioned earlier, the founder of Open Doors, he once said, prayers can go where we can't. There are no borders, no prison walls, no doors that are closed to us when we pray. And like Phil mentioned earlier, this coming Wednesday, I am going to be coming back here to Encounter for the Unite Prayer evening, and I'm going to be bringing with me a guest called Haruna. And Haruna is from Nigeria, and he has spent the last 9 years traveling around the 19 northern states of Nigeria, witnessing firsthand the realities of persecution and extreme violence and supporting Christians in his home nation. And he's going to be sharing some of his personal testimony and some of the stories of people that he has met and encountered. And then we're going to have an opportunity to pray with him and for Christians in that kind of region of the world. And so if you would like to join us for that, I would love to invite you to come along and be there. But I would also love to invite us just to take a moment to reflect and to pray now. And I'd love to invite us just to stand for that. And on the screen, there are just a few prayer points. And so you might want to just take this moment just to lift up the persecuted church in prayer, to pray for some of the people that I've mentioned. You may also be feeling right now just personally stirred. Might be that God is just speaking to you and just, you know, kind of pointing into your heart and just asking you the question, what would it look like for you to be bold, to step out in faith, to stand firm for Jesus? And maybe this is just an opportunity for you to step into what it might mean to be salt and light for yourself, to be inspired by our brothers and sisters around the world. But it might also be that you personally, you resonate with some of the stories that have been shared. Maybe if you think about friends or family or your own experience, you know this kind of suffering. And this is just an opportunity just to allow God just to come and meet with us in that, to meet with you in that, to lift up those you know personally, to lift up your own experience or suffering or heart, and allow God to come and minister. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you never leave us, you never forsake us. That for those who experience pain and suffering and persecution for your name, that there is purpose and there is a promise for them. And a promise for all of us that in you we are blessed. No matter what the world might try and throw at us, that in you we find blessing and goodness and mercy. And so, Lord Jesus, we lift up our brothers and sisters around the world. Lord, we thank you that even though we cannot physically be with them, that you hear our prayers and that you meet with them, that you are present with them. And Lord, we just ask that you would come and meet with us, that you would continue to be working through us into this week, Lord, giving us those opportunities to step out, to be bold, not to be fearful, but to stand firm for you, Jesus, seeing others come to know the goodness and the light that we know in you. And so, Lord, would you go with us? Would you fill us? And would you minister to us as well in the areas where we might have experienced suffering or where we might have an acute awareness of persecution, Lord? Would you just continue to minister and bless us? In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.